Hey, and welcome to Sunday Replay for the service at Harmony Tulika Lake on July 14, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and this week we continue our new sermon series titled Living a Meaningful Life with a message from guest speaker, the Reverend Dr. Galen Gobin. Let's listen in as he reminds us, don't take anything personally.
Let us welcome Reverend Dr. Galen Gobin.
I do want to begin and say thank you for your honesty when you reached out to me, as well as your trust in me. Thank you. That was a gift, and the sharing of your life and your losses has impacted my life, and I thank you for that. It's great. It's interesting to note that this idea of not taking anything personally, which is what chapter 2 of the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, that idea obviously has been around for a very long time. Toltec wisdom, 800 to 1100 years ago. Wisdom that has been around for a long, long time. Deep wisdom. Pretty simple in what it says. Don't listen to what others say about you. Might add that it's not helpful. It brings you down, puts you in a bad frame of mind. Let's see. Let me check what my social media says. Oh, sorry. Full of that stuff, isn't social media? Everybody's thoughts and opinions. You know, when that showed up, it just unleashed the minds that really have no reason for putting anything out there, but they still do. And we check it, don't we? We crave that stuff. How many thumbs up do I get? Oh, good, I got a heart emoji. That makes me feel so good. You know, it just makes us feel wonderful. And then we put up something, and somebody in all of their great wisdom puts up a laughing emoji with something that ain't supposed to be funny. Right? Boy, does that hurt. That's not right. And we whip out our social media and we put up a Mean Girls meme right back at them. Wow. And next time you're tempted to respond, I would invite you to remember this Toltec wisdom and also an even more ancient wisdom, which is the book of Ecclesiastes, which is approximately 2,200 years old. And some say it may be even as old as 3,000 years. And it too tells us to not listen to what other people say about us. And that reasoning should stop our thumbs in immediate action. Next slide. Do not give heed to everything that people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. Now, that's what I want to focus on today. It's the heart. Because, yeah, your heart knows. The heart knows everything, and it doesn't let us get away with anything. That creeping sense of untruthfulness that we feel draping on us. We point out something someone else does, and our heart goes, hey, psst, remember? Next slide. I was thinking about this recently. I was watching a neighbor parallel park on the street. He's out in the front yard doing some stuff. Okay, you're laughing. Good, thank you. Been there, right? Come on, it's not that hard, I hear myself saying. You know, I learned to parallel park. I had to when I was at the University of Texas in Austin, and that's all the parking that was around. It's like, come on. You can get it right, can't you? And then I remembered, because my heart went, oh yeah? That's parking out here just this morning. Thought I missed it. Come on, you idiot. It isn't that hard. Your heart knows that many times you have yourself cursed others. And it also knows with great definitiveness how often you have cursed yourself. Don Ruiz says, you take things others say personally because you agree with whatever was said. We believe what others are saying, denigrating us, because we have a long history of saying it to ourselves first. I testify to you, I guarantee you, no one can tell you how bad you are, how stupid you are, how incompetent you are, how much of a fail you are, and make you feel bad through that unless you have already done it yourself on many, many, many occasions. Because it is impossible for someone to define your identity unless you have already set that beforehand. Our heart and mind are really good at telling us where we foul up, where we sin, where we miss the mark and fall short of what we are supposed to do and be. It's hard to take compliments. Few of us are very good at it. And humility is difficult, real humility about our own self, because we rarely remind ourselves that we do well, and that we have good God-given capabilities. We take ourselves to prayer and we ask God, is this right? Am I doing life right? Is this what you want me to do? Am I doing what you want me to do? And our confidence sags. We are so unsure of who we are, we can't believe, we cannot believe that it is actually possible that God loves us, that God loves me. We refuse to recognize that maybe we are actually worth the attention of the Creator of the universe. Could the divine presence in the universe really think about me and my life? Could the compelling movement that animates the universe and all that is therein truly, truly be aware of me? Toltec wisdom or the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. Take your pick. 800 years. Or 2,200 years? It's the same question that humanity has always asked. Do I matter? Do I matter in this great cosmic experience? Does God love me? The answer lies within us. And it's ensconced in faith. We simply refuse to take ourselves as seriously as God does. Recording artist, painter, and Christian Scott Avett writes about his struggles with the despair, the distractions, the difficulties, and his effort to live his life and to live it creatively and faithfully. He says, I think of Jesus Christ, how he spoke, what he said, and how he lived in this broken world with a body that would be broken and destroyed too. I contemplate Jesus' identity. I consider how he knows exactly who he was. I think that this truth and this truth alone separates him from us. I can see how this knowing of who one is can be the most loving truth one can offer. I consider what this means to me. Jesus' life shows me who to be when I have lost direction, a way to do an impossible thing. This unconditional love provides me with eternal companionship. The realization that one is never alone is the seed from which true freedom grows. Yeah, I wish I said it. Wow. He's onto something here. Scott Aved is onto something here. He looks to Jesus, who he says knows exactly who he was. I think that this truth alone separates him from us. Think about that. What separates Jesus from us? Simply that he knows who he was. And Aved says, I can see how this knowing of who one is can be the most loving truth one can offer. Knowing who you are is the foundation of living your own best life. Living this unconditional love is the Alpha and the Omega for life. It is the guide rope that we find and we hang on to with everything that we got every day of our living. True freedom is found in knowing that you are a beloved child of God. Period. It is an imprint that is within us from before we were born, when we were being knit together in our mother's womb, as the psalmist says. And it is proclaimed publicly. And we take it on for ourselves at our baptism and our dedication. It is an identity that God is faithful to gird and enflesh within us. Every time you listen to an untruth about yourself, whether you offer it or someone else offers it, you are not living your own best life. You are listening to the doubt about your humanity and your place within the divine heart. And the truth that we all seek and that humanity has sought from day one. That truth is that the divine heart and your heart are one. Are the words you share about yourself things like misfit, loser, failure, disappointment, unintelligent, stupid, or ignorant? You ever shared those with yourself? Or do you share words like beloved, cherished, favored, treasured, adored, delightful, pleasing, lovely, very good? That first set of words are not scriptural. They are not to be found in the Bible. That second set of words, every single one of them, are all found in the Bible. And the one very good comes from the mouth of God. Karen Drucker sang a song years ago, and I was fortunate to be introduced to this song recently. She sings, "How could anyone ever tell you you are anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you are less than whole? How could anyone ever fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you are connected to my soul." That is God singing to you. That is the voice you need to listen to. That is the one who is so enamored with you that she aches to be with you and fill you. Ruiz suggests that maybe we write down something like, don't take anything personally, and put it on some sticky notes all over the place. I think it's a good idea. But I'd offer you to take this idea one step further and write down some of these. Good morning, my beloved child. Remember how cherished you are. You are a treasure to me. I am delighted by you. I adore you. Put these on your bathroom mirror, right next to your computer screen. Stick them on the refrigerator door. Open up the door of your gas tank or your plug-in and put it in there. Find places. Learn to listen to and to hear the voice of God defining your identity. The next thing you will notice is how much your heart will tune to that voice, ending the crush of curses it has given, which are untrue, unimportant, and unnecessary. How could anyone ever tell you you are anything less than beautiful? Amen.
It's halftime, and that means I get to share a little bit about upcoming events here at Harmony. Tomorrow evening, June 17th, you can join the Dining Out with Harmony crew at Veggie Grill in Toluca Lake at 6:30 p.m. for food and fellowship. If you're looking for something that meets a little earlier in the day, the small group Soul Fuel is a chill group that meets at Priscilla's Coffee on Riverside Drive every first and third Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Be sure to contact Pastor Mark for info on either group. That's M-A-R-K at hollywoodumc.org. And lastly, don't forget, we're still doing our July drive for Sherman Indian High School. Now for the rest of the episode today, let's check in with Pastor Mark and Reverend Jefferson as they discuss the recent Western Jurisdictions Conference, which occurred last week.
So jumping into this portion of our worship service, the Learn, I thought it be important to share my experience of what just occurred at the Western Jurisdictional Conference of the United Methodist Church, of which I am a delegate. And I have Rev Jefferson up here with me in case he's got some questions, wants to ask, but I thought I would just do an overview to give you an idea of what's happening.
Please.
The very first slide, which I love this quote that we have, is our home is built on faith in God and trust in one another with love for all in all we do. And that is part of the Western Jurisdiction Conference's statement. So what happens typically every 4 years is the Western Jurisdiction Conference comes together in July following the General Conference. This, though, is the second time the jurisdiction has come together. We had a meeting in November of 2022 to elect three bishops and at that time, and then less than 2 years later, we elected two more to replace the two that retired. But I found some things very powerful during the conference that I wanted to share with you. And one is in which the Western Jurisdiction Conference received the General Conference's formal apology for the denomination's role in the 1893 overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy. A task force, which is within the California Pacific Conference, of which we are a part, will work with the United Methodist Commission on Religion and Race on the official apology, acknowledging a history of racism and imposed colonial rule that continues to hold back Native Americans. What also I want to share in this is there is a short video that I will share with you, not today, but at another point in time. The one video that I know of is over 10 minutes long, but there is a shorter one, and I feel that it is important that you know why there is an apology that is due and needs to be worked on. My path crosses on occasion the Reverend Sunny Ahn, who is at Kona United Methodist Church, and she was one of the former pastors here at the Toluca Lake United Methodist Church back in the day. And so on occasion, she comes to Los Angeles, and I've extended an invitation to her that the next time she's in Los Angeles to come and share about what's going on in Hawaii, but also her perspective of, hey, what occurred at the former Toluca Lake United Methodist Church. And she told me that she tunes in and watches our worship services here at Harmony, which is always a blessing.
In case you don't know, that church was located in this building.
Yes, yes, with pews that have been removed. Also, the other thing I want to raise your attention to is that the Western Jurisdiction Conference is reinforcing its commitment to Indigenous people and places by increased funding to take on this work with Native American ministries. What many of you may not know about, have you ever heard of the Sand Creek Massacre? The Sand Creek Massacre. Well, this massacre occurred against Cheyenne and Arapaho people by the U.S. Army on November 29th, 1864. And it is estimated between 69 and 200 Native American people were killed, which were comprised mainly of women and children. The colonel who led that attack was a United Methodist. But not only was he a United Methodist, he was a leading pastor in the United Methodist Church. And so we are having to own up to our past history as United Methodists. And so that is continuing. So Love Without Limits was our theme for 2024. And my day started on Tuesday. The conference didn't start until Wednesday afternoon, but I had to arrive flying in on Monday to begin 9 a.m. And from 9 a.m., for the next 13 and a half hours with nonstop, we didn't even have breaks. We just kept going. I was involved with nominations. And nominations, our task is to fill positions from the Western Jurisdiction Conference to general boards and agencies within the denomination, as well as some Western Jurisdiction committees. And so it is like figuring out a jigsaw puzzle, and it is not easy, as you can tell, 13 and a half hours. It is not for the weak-minded or weak-hearted. But it was great to be able to be with individuals who I've known for years, and we work well together, but it was a lot of work. But the conference itself began Wednesday morning, and so the service project, start with the service project, and some started gathering at 7 a.m., and who you see there is Bishop Cedric Bridgeforth, a very dear friend of mine. And there is Bishop Dottie Escobedo Frank. And they were working at the Catholic Charities House of Charity in downtown Spokane. And all of the active bishops were serving in Spokane with various projects, along with clergy and laity from our jurisdiction. Dr. Larry High was also involved. So it was an exciting thing to do, to be in service, which set the tone for us then to gather our official convening of the conference that afternoon. The next photo that you see is a photograph of the California Pacific Annual Conference's delegation for the jurisdiction. It is large. And you can see Larry right there at the corner. I'm far in the back. And then we had a retirement, a time of retirement, and I absolutely love Bishop Karen Oliveto. She is a dear friend of mine, and Bishop Karen, I was an advocate for and supporter of, and she was the first gay bishop also married, to be elected in the United Methodist Church. And so that happened in 2016. It came time for her retirement, and that is her wife, Robin. And I look forward to meeting both of them, because we're all going to go to Magic Castle. That is our deal. Bishop Minerva Carcano from the California-Nevada Conference also retired, and she was a former bishop here in CalPAC. The election process then began, and we, as a body of 100 delegates, gathered together for this conference. And what it does is, it's equal. It's 50 clergy, 50 laity, and it's encompassing the 12 westernmost states in the United States, as well as it goes all the way to Guam. Initially, the Western jurisdiction was told, you're not electing any replacement bishops. We're going to send two bishops from other regions, and they will come over to you to fill the two positions that are vacated because of the two retirements. Well, about a week prior, and I'm not joking, about a week prior to the start of our conference, we were informed, oh, you're going to have to elect because the people that we were thinking would come to the West don't want to come, or they are going to retire, or one actually went on disability. So suddenly we're scrambling, having to figure out, uh-oh, we have to elect two, which then that made for a bit of madness. But we were able to make that happen. Elect two bishops, and their service begins on September the 1st. The first person I would like to speak about briefly is Bishop Karen, Bishop Kristen Stone King. She comes from the California-Nevada Conference, and she was the first of two bishops elected, and she is the denomination's third openly gay and married bishop. How interesting. So there was Bishop Karen, there's Bishop Cedric, and now Bishop Kristen, and all three have been elected in the Western jurisdiction. Yes. And then there's Bishop Sandy, otherwise Sandra Olwine, Bishop Sandra Olwine, and she was the, so Galen's excited because yes, she was the second of the two bishops that were elected, and she is, well, or she was the assistant to Bishop Dottie, and was previously the superintendent of the South District in California Pacific. And so we all are very excited about Rev. Bishop Sandy and being elected. And then the next slide will show you, there's Bishop Sandy, but I wanted that photo with Bishop Dottie with her as they celebrated that moment in time. And you see the tears of joy going down Bishop Sandy's cheeks. But I wanted Bishop Dottie's photo there too, as she was assigned again for another 4-year time frame period to the California Pacific Conference. So she will be with us another 4 years. And what happens, just so you know, is bishops are assigned to specific conferences, of which we have 5, and they are assigned for 4-year periods. They can then be reassigned after the 4-year period. So we're looking forward to having Bishop Dottie again with us. The last photo that I want to show you, and then if Jefferson has any questions very quickly, that is my good friend Brad, Brad Larvik, and he is at Fort Collins United Methodist Church, and I get to see Brad probably in about a couple of months. Brad is a phenomenal human being, but it's not just Brad. I love going to these conferences, getting to meet the people that I have known and been in working relationships, and they know of Harmony, and they're all excited about the things that Harmony is doing. Harmony is heard about throughout not only our jurisdiction, it is heard about throughout the country, about how we do things differently. People talk to me about the worship band. People talk to me about, what is this brunch and learn? And on our story conversations and the podcasts. And I was talking about all of you yesterday on the two flights that I took to get back. And I was engaged in conversation. In fact, I told Gaddison that I spoke with a guitarist that was by me that lives in Los Angeles and invited him to church. So you are a phenomenal faith community, and I'm just so honored to be a part of this with you in ministry, and it is a blessing. So, Rev. Jay, do you have anything you want to ask?
As you know, I was not raised a Methodist.
That's true.
So this is all interesting information to me. How does the change in bishops affect us at Harmony or change anything for us? In any way, does it? And how do we also impact as a congregation and the fact that we are unique affect what they do?
Well, in this instance, Bishop Dottie continues. So she's been serving for basically a year and a half. And it doesn't really change so much. However, Bishop Dottie and the cabinet did make a change for Hollywood United Methodist Church in regards to, we now have a co-senior pastor, Hannah Adair Bonner, Rev. Hannah. And so bishops bring in a vision that they have, which can change the dynamic of a conference. It's like when Bishop Karen went to Mountain Sky, which was actually two conferences, Yellowstone and Rocky Mountain. Just being a gay bishop really threw off people, but it's not like she went in with a gay agenda, but it's, they're bringing in vision, and sometimes it can throw things off. Fortunately for us, we have a great bishop and looking forward to working, continuing to work with her. And how we impact is living into our truth. That's the most important thing that we can do, is to live into who we are, who we have been called to be, and into our truth. And we just don't hold back. That's the reason why we do service projects. There's some that are very inspired about what we do here. And it sort of sets the tone. And then suddenly when someone realizes, oh, you're doing a podcast, well, it's like, well, why can't we do a podcast? I'm like, well, nobody's holding you back, so go for it. So I think that's it. We just have to continue to live into who we are. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay here on the Harmony Podcast Network, produced and recorded by me, Donna Miller. This week's guests were Pastor Mark Stevenson, Reverend Jefferson Beaker, and the Reverend Dr. Galen Gobin. Be sure to like, rate, subscribe, and especially to download these episodes, which helps us to continue making content for you and all our listeners. Sunday Replay is sponsored in part by Hollywood United Methodist Church, of which Harmony Tulika Lake is the second campus. Tune in next week for a special Our Story service. Until then, as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.